about some work that I've done using cover crops to potentially control invasive species. This is work that I was part of at a postdoc at Iowa State University, and I'd just like to acknowledge my co-authors, Brian Wilsey, Andrea Blong, and then Ryan Busby and Dick Gebhardt, who are here from the Corps of Engineers. And so we've been hearing a lot about invasive species and about ways to control invasives. And one method of controlling invasives is that's been used a fair amount in agriculture is cover crops. And it can also potentially be used in revegetation or restoration. And the basic idea is that if you plant something in that will compete with invasive species, that you can then decrease invasive species cover. And from a revegetation standpoint, the idea is that that may help eventually to allow establishment of target species that that will come in later and that typically are slow growing. So cover crops are being used in restoration already and revegetation, even though they haven't really been tested very well, their effectiveness. Just take a quote from a publication. From a restorationist point of view, the cover crop jury is still out. Whether it controls weed growth and how necessary this might be is another question. But many seed companies now sell cover crops or recommend their planting for erosion or for weed control. And one thing that I should especially mention here is that this is a little bit different than in agriculture. Typically in agriculture, a cover crop is planted and then allowed to grow and then killed with herbicide or with mowing, and then the agricultural crop is planted into that. And I know at Iowa State and some other places they're starting to do some work with planting live cover crops at the end of corn rotations or so forth to provide cover over the winter. And so there are efforts now in agriculture to use living cover crops and hopefully not have that decreased agricultural yield. But what we were doing is planting in living cover crops and then planting our target species into that. And then hopefully having those fast-growing cover crops compete with weeds and basically knock down weed growth enough to favor target species. So the idea is invasive species will decrease the growth of target species. That's pretty well established. And then cover crops, by decreasing the growth of invasive weeds, you have a situation where the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So that's all well and good for that. But then perhaps the big question, or one of the big questions, is what is the effect of cover crops directly on target species? Some people say, well, it could very well be negative. If they're negatively affecting invasive species, you'd expect that they'd negatively affect target species. But then other people have said, well, perhaps target species that typically are slow growing, may take several years to fully mature, will be much different than invasive species, and you could potentially have situations where maybe they're sun scorched or receive some damage, and that a cover crop, might be able to provide some facilitation reducing sun scorch or erosion or what have you. So this is the basic model. For now, I'm just going to assume that cover crops are not having much of a direct effect on target species. The experiment that we set up was begun in 2004, and we planted in 5 different species of cover crops and then had a control where nothing was planted in. We did this in 2 sites, one an unproductive site in western Iowa, another a productive site in central Iowa. And I'm just going to be, there's also some work in Kansas, but I'm just going to be speaking about the Iowa work today. And then the plots were disked in April of 2004. We planted in the cover crops, weeded everything out for 2 months, and then planted in the target species and just kind of let everything go after that. So weeds were coming in freely after that first 2 months. The 5 different cover crop species that we used were these here, 2 grasses, and then 2 legumes on the top, the Camicrista and Desmanthus, and then a black-eyed Susan in the daisy family. And there were 6 replicates of each one of our treatments in each site. Okay, so first of all, are invasive species having a negative effect on target species? In our case, we planted in prairie species as our target species. So we planted in about 20 different species of prairie plants. that are slow growing. And if you look in the last year of the study that we collected data, so this is 4 years in, on the x-axis here, it's all transformed, but on the x-axis is the biomass of invasives, in this case non-native species. And then over here we have the biomass of our target prairie species. And also there's unproductive and productive sites together here, even though there's no significant effective site in this case. What you can see is that invasives do appear to be having a negative effect on target species. So it's good to see, it's what you'd expect, but it looks like invasive biomass negatively relates to prairie target biomass. Okay, so what's the effect of cover crops on invasive species? This is from the first year, and unfortunately we don't have data from the unproductive sites, this is just from the productive site. What you can see is that there's cover crop biomass down here and invasive biomass on the y-axis. So this is the fall of the first year, just initial growth, and it looks like there's a fairly strong relationship between cover crop biomass and invasive biomass. If you basically have more cover crop biomass, typically there are fewer non-native species in the first fall. If you then go on, though, to the fourth year in 2007, this is looking at both the unproductive and the productive site. What you can see is that in this case, invasive biomass, the cover crops are not really having a significant effect on the biomass of non-native species. So they are at first, but by the time you get to the fourth year, you're not really picking that up. There is, it appears, perhaps a slight effect of site oats grama. But we also started burning in this year, and I'll be presenting those results sometime later, and there may be some feedbacks with that. But at least in competition, it doesn't look like there's, by the fourth year, that cover crops are really keeping out invasives particularly well. And one other interesting thing to note, if you actually regress the biomass that I showed you of cover crops in the first year versus the biomass of cover crops in the fourth year, there's actually a bit of a slight positive relationship that that does come out with a fairly low p-value. And the reasons that we've gone out and just looking around at the sites, what it appears is out here, the species that grow really well in the first year are Camacrista, which is an annual legume, and then Rudbeckia in the green open squares, which is an biennial aster. And those species grow really well, keep out just about everything, and then senesce as an annual after the first year or a biennial after the second year, leaving generally bare ground, and it appears that that invasive species may be able to come particularly well into these sorts of habitats. Okay, so any indirect effects of cover crops on target species? This is data from the fourth year of the study. That it was very non-normal, so it's the rank abundance. And what you can see is that in the unproductive site, it doesn't look like target prairie species are really coming in particularly better. In the productive site, there's two treatments where they didn't really come in at all. If you take those into account, there is a significant effect because, you know, something greater than zero is likely to be significant. But if you're just looking at the four treatments where something actually came in, controls don't really have significantly more target species, at least, than the others. And then the last thing to look at is the direct effects of cover crops on target species. So in order to look at that, you want to have a situation where you just have the cover crops and your target species in the absence of any weeds. And we did that for subplots within the treatments where we took out all the weeds and just had kind of cover crops or controls and then the transplants of the target species. And there's a lot going on. It's from 2 years in unproductive and productive sites, and there's a lot of interactions and so forth. But what you can see is if you look at these white bars here, those are the controls. There are always greater biomass of the target transplants in those than there are in the cover crop treatments. So it looks like all the different cover crops that we were looking at are competing with the target species, which is perhaps not surprising, but it has not been looked at generally. There are a few studies, but not a lot of studies on this. Okay, and then just one last interesting thing to mention. You could ask the question, are cover crops, do you just need to find the right cover crop, you know, the one that's similar to the weed or the target species or what have you, will things be competing most only against other species that are most similar? And we tried to look at that by kind of looking at the biomass of transplants within the same family, versus biomass of transplants in all other families. And so we looked at the grass family versus cover crop grasses, the legume family, and the aster family against cover crops of different groups. And basically what we find is that cover crops that are in the same family as target species don't compete any more strongly or significantly more strongly against those target species than against target species of any other family. So it's possible it's just the biomass of the cover crop that's most important and that there isn't necessarily a large effect of the identity. So this was our proposed initial model, and we think that this may be more what's going on, at least in our site, where you have negative initial effects of cover crops on target species and on invasive species, but then by the fourth year of the study or at later time points, you're not really seeing large effects of cover crops on invasive species or target species, unless you start to have some of these fire feedbacks or so forth, which we're starting to look at. So in conclusion, cover crops appear to compete as strongly against target species as against invasives. And annuals and biennials may even have potentially a drawback if they're keeping out everything of leaving bare soil after they senesce. And so it appears that cover crops don't have a lot of value in this area for long-term weed control or for revegetation and restoration. I'd like to thank the following people on the Corps of Engineers and the Iowa Department of Transportation for funding. And I'd be more than happy to take one question. Walt.
I think one of the challenges here, the very first slide you put up was your cover crop in relationship to your invasive. Mm-hmm. And only about 10% of variation was explained.
Yes.
Lots of residuals.
Yep.
So my thought is, until you know the mechanism of competition, the shared resource they're competing for, you have to do experiments over and over and over again with every single individual, right? Because all those paired interactions would just add up.
Mm-hmm.
So would it be a better approach, and I'm harking back to my talk, so this is obviously biased, to try to find out what they're competing for and then use that as your basis to pick your cover crop? Because there didn't seem to be a lot of competition between your cover crop and your invasive, given all those residuals.
So actually, if you're talking about the first figure, you mean between the invasive and the target species?
I thought it was between your cover crop. I thought your cover crop was on the y-axis and your invasive was on the x.
On the very first figure, it was actually the invasive on the x-axis and the target prairie species on the y-axis.
Okay.
Yep. But I think your point stands in that it would be good to know which resource these species are competing most strongly for, and to, you know, if you can figure that out, you might be able to kind of, you know, are invasives competing perhaps for other things than, you know, targets, or you might be able to find some, you know, some of the weak points there.
Is there nitrogen limit plant growth?
In the western Iowa site, nitrogen, but not so much in the central.